Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It's been said, patience is a virtue, and from the earliest age, we have been taught to be patient, to wait our turn. What we need to be patient for and wait for varies from person to person, and here behind the scenes at Sabbath Bible Study, there is a recurring pattern that requires my patience in waiting. The sermons that you hear in any web pages or printed material you read are all completed on a computer here in El Paso, Texas. That all typically proceeds as expected without any need to have patience or wait. But when I upload it to the website, that is where I frequently need patience. It seems like almost every time I'm ready to upload additional material to Sabbath Bible Study, there is some sort of a glitch that occurs with my internet connection at that very moment. At that moment, when I am trying to connect with the website server, it seems like my internet becomes frozen or disconnected, and that occurs so predictably that it's rare when it doesn't happen. My computers are very protected against viruses and threats, and it seems like a router problem that kicks in. I can even reset my router and reboot the computer, and sometimes that doesn't completely resolve the issue, even after a few attempts. At times, it seems like the router is so stubborn that it seems like what needs to get uploaded to Sabbath Bible Study won't be uploaded. It's then I default to a backup method to upload the materials. Interestingly, when the materials are finally uploaded, whatever the router issue is goes away, and my internet connection remains stable. Maybe it's an issue with my internet service provider, but my connection speed is more than sufficient to upload what needs to be uploaded. Maybe all I'm experiencing is spiritual interference from Satan and the demons, because when I remember to ask God to prevent this type of interference, God delivers. Waiting can be frustrating, especially when it seems like what we are waiting for is beyond our control. And from time to time, I feel that frustration when trying to do something simple, like upload web pages and audio files to Sabbath Bible Study. Waiting is something we will do as Christians, and we live our life now waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We can only imagine how different our lives would be for the better if Jesus returned. And as we have this hope, we wait for his return. Knowing there is something better waiting for us at the return of Jesus Christ can give us reason to look at the life we have today. All of the bad things that happen to us in our life would go away at the return of Jesus. There would be no pain and suffering as we know it today. That reminds me of a passage from John that discusses what happened to a man from Bethany named Lazarus, who was sick. Word got to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, and this prompted Jesus to reassure Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, that he would not die. So instead of going to Bethany to heal Lazarus, Jesus stayed where he was until after Lazarus was dead. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. By the time Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus was long dead and already buried in the grave 4 days. And when Martha heard Jesus was approaching the town, she went out to meet him. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. When Martha met up with Jesus, she told him that if he had been there, Lazarus would still be alive. And Jesus told her that Lazarus would rise again. And Martha already knew of the resurrection of the dead at the end of time. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha told Jesus that if he had been there, Lazarus would still be alive. In Martha's mind, when Jesus took 2 days before coming to Bethany, it was like Jesus delayed his coming. And that delay resulted in the death of Lazarus. Martha soon went her way and sent Mary, her sister, to see Jesus. When Mary connected with Jesus, Mary told Jesus what Martha had said, that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus understood driving these words was deep sorrow, the type of sorrow that catches up to other people who witness the sorrow. Verse 28. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. After going to the burial site, Jesus asked that the stone sealing the chamber be removed, and Martha reminded Jesus that by now the body of Lazarus would stink. And Jesus reminded her that if she would believe, she would see the glory of God. With a stone rolled away and after some in the crowd mocking Jesus, Jesus gave thanks to our Father in heaven and with a loud voice told Lazarus to come out of the tomb, which Lazarus did still wearing the burial cloths. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. According to both Mary and Martha, Lazarus died because Jesus did not come to Bethany when immediately asked. In other words, according to both Mary and Martha, Lazarus died because Jesus delayed his coming. Interestingly, Jesus used that delay to establish his connection to the glory of God while restoring life to Lazarus. When we look at our own circumstances of life, do we sometimes conclude that if Jesus wasn't delaying his coming, that certain circumstances in our life would be different? Can we see how, like with Lazarus, miracles can be worked out on our behalf, just like they were with Lazarus? Sometimes we only look at what we think of as a delayed return, never considering the real need there is to wait. One of those needs is given in John, where Jesus told the disciples that in his Father's house are many mansions, and that he goes to prepare a place for us, and will return for us. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. What we may think of as a delay in the return of Jesus Christ is simply the need for time to complete the place prepared for us. When the mansions are completed for everyone who is called, then Jesus will return. And it seems like God will give the final walkthrough and inspection on that before Jesus returns, because only God knows when Jesus will return. We don't know how God will determine when it is time for Jesus to return, but we can understand there is a process. If you've ever had a house built, you know the process that must be completed before you could move in. If you've ever had a house renovated, you can appreciate how unsettling it can be to have a house in disarray as renovations are being completed. Recently, I had a water heater burst in my house, and water got into a rug in one of the bedrooms. There is a process I had to go through to replace the water heater and take care of the water leak to prevent mold from forming. Even though my organized mind really dislikes things out of place, I had to live with things out of place as the carpet was first drying from the water heater and then drying from the carpet shampoo. To a casual observer, they might have thought I was delaying in getting that bedroom put back together. But in my mind, I was waiting for the best time. Our Father in heaven is also waiting for the best time for the return of Jesus Christ, so that the most number of people can be saved. Our Father, who is waiting for the best time for the return of Jesus Christ, has given us incredible, great love that we should be called the sons of God. And even though God thinks of us that way right now, it won't be obvious to everyone that we are the sons of God until Jesus does return. Between now and that future time of the return of Jesus, we keep this hope alive within us and purify ourselves to become more and more like our Father. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We have this hope within us of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is in the last time, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, after those mansions are prepared for all who are called, that the hope we have is realized, resulting in our salvation. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Make no mistake about it, our salvation comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. There is nothing we can do of and by ourselves to give ourselves salvation. It was Jesus Christ who was offered once to bear the sins of many. And for those like you and me who look for him, he will appear a second time for salvation. Hebrews 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The word look, used in verse 28, is translated from Strong's Greek 553, apodekomai, meaning to fully expect. Look, wait. There are several other places where apodekomai is used in the New Testament. When Paul wrote the Corinthians, reminding them of the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ, they were reminded of the need to wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Galatians were reminded that they could not be so focused on saving themselves through the law that Jesus Christ was like a meaningless distraction, but that we all need to, through the Holy Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness that comes through faith. Galatians 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Philippians were warned of people who were once of the faith and who are now enemies of the faith, who instead of serving the God of heaven, serve themselves. We cannot be like those people, and instead we must look for Jesus Christ, who will change our human bodies to be like his glorious body at his return. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. When Paul wrote to the Romans, Paul wrote of this waiting that comes to each of us. We all wait for that day when Jesus returns and the glory of God is revealed in us through eternal life. We all wait for that day when our physical body is no more and replaced with a spiritual body, finalizing the process of becoming a son of God. We hope for what we do not see, and we patiently wait for it. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. While waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, we must be genuine. We cannot be a phony pretender and hope to have any part of the reward that Jesus is bringing with him. We must do the will of our Father who's in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Psalms tell us that it is God in whom we trust. so that our enemies do not have victory over us. It is God who shows us the way and teaches us, who shows us the way to salvation. It is God in whom we wait. Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. As we wait for God, we will see people who are evil, and we can't let that get between us and God. Instead of seeing people who are evil, as we wait for God, we need to focus on how God is good to us. Instead of focusing on what we see as evil, we need to delight ourselves in God, never giving an inch to those who are evil, and determining in our mind to do what God expects of us. When we wait for God and the return of Jesus Christ, instead of seeing what is evil, we focus on the good that God is doing in our life, knowing that when Jesus Christ returns, what is evil will be no more. Knowing that it is the meek, those who do what God expects, who will inherit the earth. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in thy land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. As we wait for God, with our hope in the kingdom of God, we will be of a poor spirit, not proud. We will mourn the evil we see, knowing it will end at the second coming. We will do what God expects as we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We will extend mercy to others, seek to be pure of heart, and desire peace above all else, accepting persecution when it comes our way. Matthew 5, verse 13. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." We know that through Jesus Christ, the hope we have is available to any person, and that for us, we are called to live a way that is in stark contrast to this world, as we look for the return of Jesus Christ, who gave himself so that we are redeemed from iniquity, so that we can be finally and completely purified from evil, so that we can choose the good over the evil. We wait for Jesus, knowing these things. Titus 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." As we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God and do not look to what we think of as righteousness. The righteousness of God is found in that tree of life that transcends all knowledge of good and evil. Romans 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." As we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we have this race set before us that must be run with patience, looking to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. We did not call ourselves to the faith, nor will we complete our faith by just ourselves. We are called by God our Father through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus Christ who will bring us across the finish line. What we cannot do as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ is to drop out of the race of faith. We must endure to the end. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Whatever situations we may face in this present life may be challenging and disheartening for us, but we cannot lose our focus on the return of Jesus Christ, knowing that if we endure to the end, no matter how hard our life is today, no matter what challenges we face, no matter what sins are part of our past and which sins bitterly try to cling to our life, if we endure to the end, the result we will have is righteousness. Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. As we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we never lose sight on the power of prayer, and we seek peace with all men as we also seek holiness in our own life, knowing we cannot take a rest from faith and must diligently press on in our quest for the kingdom of God. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We are called to be part of that kingdom of God, to be part of the firstborn of the children of God, with Jesus Christ as the mediator of the new covenant. We are not called to endure what was the Old Testament, but we are called to endure to the end in faith as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, unto Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The kingdom of God which we seek is an eternal kingdom, which will always exist. Like the kingdom of God, which will never go away, we cannot leave God. And as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we recognize that without Jesus and his death and resurrection, we would have no hope of eternal life. And through that forgiveness of sin, we serve God. Verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We must be patient until the return of Jesus Christ. And all that we think and do must be based in the hope that we have. And as we have had our sins forgiven, we forgive others, never holding a grudge against another person, because when we hold a grudge, we hold on to something that is not forgiven. We know we will be happy because we endure. James 5, verse 17. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. Today, and until the return of Jesus, we are waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus will return at the best time for the salvation of the most number of people. And until that time comes, we endure. We patiently wait with meekness and have hope in the kingdom of God, knowing the death and resurrection of Jesus makes this all possible. With this hope that we have, we endure to the end, pursuing peace with all men and seeking holiness in our life. We know no matter how challenging life may be today or in the near future, any bad situation we may have is nothing compared to the glory of God that will be revealed in us at the return of Jesus Christ. Knowing until that return, Jesus is preparing a place for us. Let us patiently wait on the return of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.